In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Are you afraid when we have a sermon that focuses on good works? Are you afraid when you hear from the Scripture that there's such a thing as a reward for good works? Are you afraid when you read the sermon theme, good works are necessary? As Lutherans, it's easy to be afraid when we hear those truths, right? It's easy to be afraid, or at the very least, concerned when we focus on good works, when we talk about there being a reward for good works, when we say that good works are necessary. For the cry of Lutheranism is sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, by grace alone, by faith alone, by scripture alone. And good works have nothing to do with those things. So why then are we focusing on good works this morning? It's because Jesus focuses on good works. And in our text, Jesus makes it clear, good works are necessary. We just have to know what they are necessary for. For when we hear people say good works are necessary, immediately we often assume that they must be talking about heaven. They must be saying good works are necessary for salvation. Good works are necessary to heaven. For when we hear someone say good works are necessary, we immediately assume that they are saying, you have to do enough good works to make God happy and please God, and then God will let you into heaven. But as Lutherans, we know that that is not the case. Good works are not necessary to enter heaven because it is impossible for any one of us to do enough good works to please God. God demands perfection. Not just during one day, not just during one hour, not just when people are watching, not just doing your best. God demands perfection, complete and utter perfection, from the moment you were conceived until the moment your body and soul separate. For God is holy and righteous, and so if you're going to join him in heaven, he demands that you be holy and righteous as well. And so if we were saying good works are necessary for salvation, if we were saying good works are necessary to enter heaven, well, then you would have a huge burden on your shoulder and would be chopping off your hands and feet and plucking out your eyes to try to abstain from sin, right? If that's what we were saying, it would be such a heavy burden on your shoulder for day after day, night after night. You would be required to only do good, because if you sinned just once, if you messed up just once, then you would be cast into the eternal fires of hell forever. That's what we would have to say if we were saying good works are necessary for salvation. That's terrifying to think about, isn't it? It's why many people don't want to worship God. They know God only as a God who makes unrealistic demands, a God who demands perfection, a God who's going to judge them if they do wrong. And they don't want to worship that God. They're scared of that God. I don't want to worship that God. I'm scared of that God. So it's a good thing that that is not who God is, as we heard last week. For when we say good works are necessary, we are not saying that they are necessary for salvation. That would fly right in the face of the gospel message which we treasure so deeply. For the gospel shows us our Savior Jesus. The gospel proclaims what Jesus has done for us by his bloody death and glorious resurrection. The gospel tells us that we have been washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven of all our sins, that all our guilt has been taken away. That's what the gospel proclaims. And the best part about it all is that it's free. It doesn't depend on our own works. We saw that earlier in the service when Henry was baptized, right? Henry didn't do a whole lot. God did everything for Henry to wash him and take away all of his sins. And once that gospel message is on our mind, once it is on the forefront of our brains, well then we do not do good works because we have to and are trying hard to please God. No. Instead, we do good works because we belong to Christ Jesus. We have been forgiven by our God. And so we do good works because we know that God is using us to bless those people in our lives. And as an example of how that works, just look at our text. For in our text, John comes up to Jesus and says, "We saw someone driving out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't one of us," meaning one of the 12 apostles. Now, we don't know anything about this man who was driving out demons. We don't know who he was or why he was given the ability to drive out demons. What we do know from Jesus' response is that he was a believer. He had been washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven of all his sins. His guilt has been taken away. And therefore, he was not driving out demons to prove his worth to God, to try to make God happy enough with him to allow him into heaven. No. Instead, he was driving out demons because he belonged to God. God had redeemed him. And God was now using this man to help out others in the world, specifically those who were demon-possessed. For as Jesus said, "No one who does a miracle in my name will be soon afterwards speak evil about me. Whoever is not against us is for us." You see, you are either against Jesus or you're for Jesus. One or the other. There's nothing in between. Either you are abounding in acts of sin because you are controlled by your sinful flesh, or you have been forgiven of all your sins because you've been washed clean in the blood of Christ. Either you are trying to please God, trying to prove your worth to God, which is impossible to do, or you are rejoicing that God has made you worthy through the death and resurrection of Jesus. You are either against Christ or for Christ. The disciples forgot that truth. It's why they told this man to stop driving out demons. In their pride, they thought they should be the only ones who could do such a special privilege. You see, in the disciples' mind, it didn't matter that he was a believer. It didn't matter that he was for Christ, and Christ was using him to abound in good works. The disciples were only thinking about themselves. They were trying to make all their good works about them. It's why Jesus had to remind them, "You are either against Christ or for Christ." You see, if someone is doing a good work in the name of Christ, rejoice. No matter what that good work is, if they are doing a good work in the name of Christ, rejoice. For if they are doing a good work in the name of Christ, that means that they are connected to Christ by faith. It means they have been washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven of all their sins, and had their guilt taken away. It means that they belong to Christ, and Christ is now using them to bless other people. This is where the discussion of the doctrine of vocation comes in. For do you know what the doctrine of vocation is? Vocation is your spot in life. It's the place where God puts you to serve others in the world. It's the place where God puts you so that God can use you to bless other people in the world. That's what vocation is. And it's important to remember the doctrine of vocation. For you see, oftentimes we want to act like the disciples, right? We want to make all the good works about us and about what we're doing. Either we want credit for the good works that we do, or we think that we should do the best good works Because in our minds, there are some good works that are more important than others. And we want to do the best good works because we want to be noticed by God or noticed by those around us or both. That's the trap the disciples fell into, right? And it's a trap that we can easily fall into today as well. It's why it's important to remember the doctrine of vocation, the area, the place where God puts us in this life. For vocation blows our sinful pride right out of the water. Listen to how Jesus teaches about this doctrine of vocation in our text. After telling the disciples, it's okay that this man was driving out demons. He was for me and not against me. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Amen, I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward." Do you see how beautiful these words are? These words make it clear that our good works are not about us and what we are doing. Instead, they're about those we get to serve. Our good works are not about us and what we are doing. Instead, it's about the fact that we belong to Christ Jesus. Our good works are not about us and what we are doing. Instead, it's all about the opportunities that God places before us. It's about the good works that God has prepared for us to do so that we can do those good works and God can use us to bless other people. No matter what that good work is, for look at the example that Jesus used. He used the example of giving a cup of water to someone. Giving a cup of water seems like a pretty lowly thing to do. If you were to make a list of the 100 greatest works a Christian could do, I don't think giving a cup of water would probably make that list. You've probably given a cup of water hundreds, thousands of times to people, especially if you have young kids and they're trying to stall at bedtime. You don't even think about it when you give a cup of water to someone. But did you notice how God views that? He says you're certainly not going to lose your reward. For just think about that, giving a cup of water to someone. That person, whoever it is, they're thirsty. They need water. And God wants to use that water to quench their thirst and sustain life, right? Now, God could just cause a cup of water to appear before them. God could cause a cup of water to levitate from the sink and come right before them. God has that power, right? But it's not what God does. Instead, he chooses to use you. He prepares a good work for you to do, to give a cup of water to someone. He doesn't have to use you. But he chooses to use you so that he can use that cup of water to quench that person's thirst and sustain their life. Isn't it amazing that God chooses to use you with that privilege? And the same is true with every good work that you do, whether it is at work or school or home or church, whether it's changing a poopy diaper, punching numbers into a computer, preaching a sermon, singing a hymn, giving a loved one a hug, supporting someone in time of need, running to the store for someone, giving a gift to someone, or anything in between. When you do those good works which God has prepared for you to do in your vocation, when you do those good works because you belong to Christ, you will certainly not lose your reward. God is choosing to use you. He doesn't have to. But he chose to use you because he knew you were the perfect person at the perfect time to do this good work which he has prepared for you to do so that he, God, can bless that person. Do you see how even our good works are about God? And when we have that on our mind, that even our good works are first and foremost about what God is doing, well then, Well, then we understand what we are saying when we say good works are necessary. They are not necessary for salvation. That was the work of Jesus Christ alone, who died and rose to forgive us our sins. But good works are necessary because it is the way that God gets things done in this world. They are necessary because God has prepared these good works for you to do. And God has chosen you to abound in those works so that he can then bless those he has placed into your lives. That's the doctrine of vocation. And so rejoice at how God chooses to use you. You who have been redeemed and washed in the blood of Christ, rejoice at how God chooses to use you. For know this, God is going to put you at the perfect place, at the perfect time, surrounded by the perfect people, with the perfect talents and abilities, so that you can perform that perfect work which he has prepared for you to do, and be a blessing to everyone that God brings into your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise as we sing the Create in Me that is found in the bulletin.